love the traditional but always new Easter greeting, where the leader will say, Christ is risen, and the people will respond by saying, Christ is risen indeed. Will you give it a try with me? Christ is risen. Would you turn to the person next to you and tell them Christ is risen? Today, what I'd like to do is spend the next couple of minutes focusing on Peter's experience on that very first Easter morning. Through the season of Lent, we've been focusing on Peter and how his faith evolves from spending time with Jesus. He tended to be a fairly impetuous person who would step forward and speak before he was really sure what he was saying and do things without having thought through the consequences. And so you have to wonder on Easter morning, will he finally get it? Will he finally understand what he's saying? On Thursday evening at the Last Supper, Jesus had said that all the disciples would abandon him. Every last one of them said, surely not me. Peter even went so far as to say, even if I have to die, I will not abandon you. After dinner, Jesus asked Peter and James and John to go with him to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was so intent on what he was praying that he was sweating blood. But where were Peter and James and John? They were asleep outside of the garden. One has to wonder if Peter had fought harder, whether anything would have been any different. If the disciples had rallied around Jesus, would he have still be wrongly accused and convicted? Whatever the truth of that question is, now Peter will never know. Now Peter will have to live with the consequences of his decisions. As long as Jesus is dead, he will never be able to hear, to say the words, I'm sorry, or to hear Jesus say, you are forgiven. When Jesus died, it was Friday afternoon. Friday was the beginning of the Sabbath, and the people were not allowed to touch dead bodies. A rich man who had been a part of the Sanhedrin, which gets you to thinking that maybe someone got it, Joseph of Arimathea, managed to get special permission to have Jesus' body taken down and put in a freshly cut tomb. There were rumors that somebody might steal the body, and so this giant stone had been rolled in front of the tomb to make sure that that didn't happen. So let's remember what the tomb represents for Peter. The tomb represents his failure. As long as the tomb was there, he would have to live with what he had done for the rest of his life, and there was no way to move beyond it. He was just going to have to live with his mistakes. At least that's the way it looked until Easter morning. And then something changed. Some women had been there early in the morning, and they had found that the stone was rolled away. And they thought maybe somebody had taken the body away. Then they went to Peter and to John. And I got to thinking on that first Easter morning, if I were Peter, what are some things that I might have said? And I came up with three ideas. I can imagine Peter saying, let's go, let's see, and let's believe. Let's go. Have you ever said those words? Let's go. Dawn and I were sitting. We just kind of settled in at the end of the day on Monday evening, and we turned on the television and were watching the news. And at the end of the news broadcast, the weather came on. They were predicting the weather for Monday night. Do you remember what the weather for Monday night was? Snow. Now, that wouldn't have been such a big deal, except that we had just planted a whole bunch of flowers out in the side of our yard. And snow is not real good for newly planted flowers. And so I don't remember if it was Dawn or I that thought about the flowers and said, you know, we really ought to go out and cover those flowers. The other one of us said, you know, that would be a really good idea. And then we sat there for a moment and tried to decide whether it was worth the effort of getting up to go cover the flowers. Eventually, one of us said, let's go. It means to get moving, to stop whatever you're doing and to do something else. Peter had probably been talking to John about all the things that had happened over the last couple of days. Maybe he was saying how badly he felt that things hadn't gone differently. They certainly were telling stories about Jesus' trial and his death. Where would they go now? Some women run in and start to talk about how Jesus' body is not where it's supposed to be. What would you have done? Would you have gone to find out for yourself? For Peter, going to the tomb means facing his failure. There's a moment when the other disciple, John, outruns him, and I have to wonder whether that's maybe because he was having second thoughts. Maybe he wasn't as motivated as John because maybe he knew the risk of it not being true. What if he was wrong? Is the possibility of hope worth the risk of failure? There is a guy by the name of David McNally who is originally from Australia, who's settled in Minneapolis. And in 2001, he tried to start a company called Stay Power, which made a fuel additive. They tried to take on STP, and for a while it looked like they might actually do it. They were very successful for a while. He says it was largely because he was such a great salesperson. He says, I drove a Rolls Royce and had a beautiful home, but I wasn't a very good manager. When the business began to go in decline, he said, I couldn't stop it. And so by the age of 28, I was flat broke and heavily in debt, which were not goals I remember setting. Now he's going around the country speaking about his experience, and one of the things that he says is that failure in business or a career doesn't condemn you to failure as a person. I like that. You have to see yourself separate from failures in your job. I wouldn't be a true failure unless I never took another risk in my life, if I went down and never got up. Do you see the difference between making mistakes and being a mistake? Is there something you need to face? Because of the hope of Easter, I believe we can say, let's go, let's face it. Is there something you've been avoiding? If there is, we can say, what? Let's go. Is there some place that God might be able to do a miracle? If there is, you can say, what? Let's go. Is there some place where there are people that are hungry, what ought we to say? Let's go. Is there some place where there's injustice being done? What ought we to be able to say because of the hope of Easter? Let's go. Is there some place where people are hurting? Let's go. Is there some place where there are people that need to know that there is hope? What can we say? Let's go. In about a month, on Saturday, May 17th, we're going to have Elvis in the house. Isn't that cool? Don has a cousin by the name of Ryan Roth who's going to is one of the nation's best Elvis tribute artists. Or do you say Elvis impersonators? Either way. Performer. He is a very, very good Elvis. He's going to be at Faith Community to do a concert as Elvis. Why? There is a program in Xenia called X Out Hunger. 60% of Xenia's kids are on subsidized or free lunches. The problem is, what do they eat during the weekend? Well, X Out Hunger is an attempt to try to make sure that kids in Xenia have food to eat over the weekend. And so he's going to do a benefit concert for X Out Hunger. Now, what am I hoping that you'll say when it gets to be Saturday afternoon and you're looking for something to do on May 17th? Let's go! Easter is the promise that there's no failure that we cannot face, not even death, because there is always hope. Then Simon Peter came and went into the tomb. There I imagine Peter saying, let's see. Have you ever said those words, let's see? As a child, I had two brothers, and my brothers and I used to have pet guinea pigs. I remember one day we were sitting around letting our guinea pigs graze in the backyard, and one of us, I don't remember which one of us it was, said, can guinea pigs swim? It's a good question. I don't remember which one of us it was that responded, probably me, by saying, I don't know. Let's see. It turns out they can, but not very well. The women had been at the tomb earlier. They had found out that the stone had been rolled away, but they did not go in to see what was inside the tomb. They didn't think that Jesus' body was there, but they didn't go in to find out for sure. Peter wanted to know for sure. The next step for Peter to getting to the point of hope was being able to say, let's see. One of the mysteries of the resurrection is that there is no thing that we will ever be able to find that will be able to prove what happened between Friday and Sunday. No body, no video, no DNA sample. You're going to have to look into it and decide for yourself. To help us decide, God in his wisdom, instead of providing evidence, provided witnesses. The hope of Easter is spread by people who are willing to share the ways that you see God at work in your life. Where have you seen God at work in your life? There was a movie that was released recently called God Is Not Dead. Has anybody seen the movie, God Is Not Dead? Good movie about a professor in college who is trying to convince his class that there is no God, and one student who refuses to believe that he's right. It reminded me of a story from 1930 about a gentleman, communist leader by the name of Bukharin. He went from Moscow to Kiev trying to argue that there is no God. He was a very smart person who had some very good arguments. He spent about an hour arguing that there is no God, all the reasons to question God's existence, trying to convince us that we have within ourselves the power to be better people and to create a better society, and pointing out all the problems there are with the Christian faith and the Christian church. After about an hour of making his argument, he asked if there were any questions. A lot of people at that point were questioning their faith. One person, though, asked if he could have permission to speak, and he quietly moved up on the platform and stood next to the speaker, and then said, "Christ is risen." And do you know what all the people responded by saying? "Christ is risen indeed." And suddenly his argument was lost and hope had won. It's a story that was repeated, by the way, I am told, in Xenia about 2 weeks ago. There was a high school teacher who was studying with his class Jonathan Edwards' sermon, "Sinners in the Hands of the Angry God," and then was arguing a lot of Christian churches are like that. A lot of Christians tend to be narrow-minded and judgmental, and what churches are really trying to do is teach about a condemning God. A student in that class stood up and said, "Wait a minute, that's not my experience with church." From this church, from Faith Community, said, "If you want to see what church is really like, you ought to come to church with me some Sunday morning and see what we do at Faith Community." Isn't that a great way to respond? Remember the story about the blind man? They were trying to figure out how he'd been healed of his blindness. He said, "I have no idea what really happened. I don't know why this is happening. All I know is once I was blind, but now I see." You don't have to have all the answers. Just tell what you've seen. Peter saw the linen wrappings very carefully folded up, and that was enough to convince him that what was happening was not a mistake. It was not something that happened in a last-minute scramble. It was part of a carefully thought-out plan that God had been working on since the time when Adam and Eve took the fruit in the garden. What do you see? How do you see God at work in your life? When you look at a sunrise, do you see the beginning of another day full of trouble? Or do you see the work of a God who is trying to make the world a more beautiful place? When you look into the face of another person, do you see everything that they've done wrong? Or do you see the image of God who made us to be sacred and holy people? When you look at the end of your life, do you see something to be feared? Or do you see the beginning of forever with the Lord? Which brings me to my last point, the last thing I believe or would imagine Peter saying, "Let's believe." I get that from the verse where we are told, "And he saw and believed." He may not have fully understood, but he believed. Do you believe? It's not an easier choice. It's easier to believe that there are things wrong in the world because there are so many of them. And it requires less of us if we believe that there's nothing that we can do. Being faithful is hard work. It means reading our Bible and looking for the stories of how other people have discovered the Lord. It means spending time in prayer and listening for what God's going to do next. It means looking for the good even when it's not always obvious. It means letting your heart be broken by the sin in the world so that there are those who can know forgiveness. It means facing death and looking for life. If you watched the news last Sunday evening, you probably saw a story on there about a tragic shooting that happened at a Jewish community center in Kansas City, Missouri. Did you see this story? There was a gentleman who went into this Jewish community center and apparently just started randomly shooting people. There were at least three people who were killed. Two of them were members of a sister United Methodist Church called the Church of the Resurrection in Kansas City, which is pastored by Adam Hamilton. He ironically had just been in Dayton a couple of days before that and had to leave early on Saturday in order to get back to help deal with the situation. On Monday, there was a lady by the name of Mindy Corcoran who stepped forward to address the world. Her father and 14-year-old son were among those who were killed. They were there at the Jewish Community Center to audition for an American Idol-like show called KC Superstar. Here's what is amazing about the interview that I read in the paper. She had nothing but words of love and faith to share. These are some of her words. She said, "You have to reach to God. You have to reach to your friends and search your soul, and that's what it's all about. It's about those of us who are living, and it's about loving and caring for one another." The gunman is said to have walked into the Jewish Community Center and shouted, "Heil Hitler," and then started shooting. He is now being held by authorities. Mindy said it was a horrible act of violence that had ripped her son and father away, and yet, though her grief has been profound, she explained that her faith, the faith and love that she's felt all around her, have kept her afloat. People keep saying, "How come you're so strong?" And she says, "I'm strong because I have family. I'm strong because I have faith. I know that God did not do this, and I know that there are evil, evil actions. But what we do have is each other. We have love, and we have prayer, and we have friends, and we have family. Our phone's been ringing off the hook." Mindy was among the first to go in after the shooting and see the bodies of those who have been killed. The last thought that she left people with is, "I know that there's something good that's going to come out of this. We want something good to come out of this. We don't know what it's going to be, and so if you see any good in this, please let us know." Easter happens every time someone chooses love over hate. Easter happens every time someone chooses forgiveness in the face of sin. Easter happens every time someone chooses life over death. Easter is the conviction that there is no failure that we cannot face. We can say, "Let's go." Easter is the conviction that we don't have to have all the answers. All we have to do is share what we've witnessed. We can say, "Let's see." Easter is the conviction that there's no situation where we do not have hope, and so we can say, "Let's believe." What is the ancient but always new greeting? Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. May it be so. Amen.